We are here to announce a major law enforcement action against international financial institutions that for years participated in a brazen display of collusion and foreign exchange rate market manipulation.
U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch speaking today as five major banks agreed to plead guilty to criminal charges in a long-running investigation into foreign currency manipulation. J.P. Morgan Chase, Barclays, Royal Bank of Scotland, Citigroup, and UBS will also pay nearly $6 billion in combined penalties to U.S. and U.K. authorities. Reporter Matt Klein has been following the story for the Alphaville blog of the Financial Times. He's with us from New York. And first, explain how the foreign exchange rate market works and what these banks were allegedly doing to manipulate it.
So let's say you're an American manufacturer, you make cars, and you need to buy auto parts from a company in Japan. The only way to do that is if you have yen. So you have to go to a bank to churn your dollars into yen. Most of the time, if you do that, you don't care about exactly what time of day, because this is a long-running contract you have with the supplier. So you just say, buy it at the price for the day. There's a regular price that's set at 4 p.m. every day called the fix, which is based on whatever the last trade was at 4, and many companies will use that as their reference price. The banks are accused of constructing trades just before 4 p.m. so that they could essentially manipulate the benchmark to be advantageous to them relative to wherever they bought their currency earlier in the day and make a profit at the expense of their customers.
And probably something so small on an individual trade that you wouldn't even notice it, or is that the case?
It would be very hard to tell that you'd noticed it. I mean, there's also sort of the question of what it means. I mean, it wouldn't be the best price that you could have gotten earlier in the day, but technically you didn't ask for the best price. You asked for the price at 4 p.m. So there's sort of a tricky question there of how much of it was manipulation and how much of it wasn't. I mean, in this case, we know there was collusion. There are chat rooms, this group called the Cartel that was involved. But it's very difficult to quantify the specific losses to any individual customer.
Well, and did these manipulations impact regular people who were doing business with the banks, or who were trying to, you know, change their dollars into euros or something like that?
So I would say indirectly, yes. The basis of all or most financial regulation in the U.S. and elsewhere is that you have to have integrity of the markets, that people have to trust that when you make a deal with someone, that they're not defrauding you in some way. And so to the extent that we have evidence here of collusion and of deliberate manipulation, then that's a problem, because it raises the cost of doing business. And it makes it that much harder, people less likely to want to trade currencies for goods and services and assets, and it's going to make things more difficult. For the person going to Europe, they might not see it, but there is some cost in terms of growth. It's like insider trading for stocks.
Okay. The question is then, is $6 billion this total amount of fines, is that the cost of doing business, or is that a real hit to these banks?
I would say it's the cost of doing business. I mean, if you look at the profit or the revenues that these firms generate from their trading operations in any given quarter and you add it up, this is not going to be that significant. I mean, The share prices of some of these banks actually went up after the deals were announced.
Wow.
Because they were smaller than what people were expecting.
Matt Klein, reporter with Alphaville at the Financial Times. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.